Well, good morning. Let's try that again. Good morning. Well, that sounds like more people are awake. It is good to see you here this morning. And I'm going to ask you to please take your Bibles and open up to the book of Isaiah, chapter 41. The book of Isaiah, chapter 41. I want to speak this morning on the subject of the Lord holds His own. I remember that when I was a child, believe it or not, Andrew, I can remember all the way back to when I was a child. And yeah, that's wow. And there was a television show on called Ted Mack Original Amateur Hour. How many people here remember Ted Mack Original Amateur Hour? See? No, there's a bunch of them that remember, get those hands back up there again. Now, Sylvia, look around. Now, is that more than two? Okay. See, I'm not the only old one here to be able to remember that show. But no, it just means you didn't have a TV. Okay. I'm sorry. On that particular show, they would have quite often young people that would come on and do songs, or they would do tricks or whatever. And it was an interesting show to watch. And there was a song that I was kind of introduced to out of Ted Mack's Original Amateur Hour. There was a young girl that came on and she sang this song. And let's see how many of you remember it. He's got the whole world in his hands. Anybody remember that song? Yeah, a good many people. So if I started singing that, I wouldn't have to sing along because people here would remember that, all right? But as that song, when I was a little kid, I didn't really understand it. But as I grew up, I began to realize, oh, this is one of those religious things. The He that is brought out in that is God. And He's got the whole world in His hands. Wow, He's a big dude. I mean, He is huge. If He's got the whole world in His hands. Now, as I became a Christian, and as I began to understand things a little bit better, the importance of that song began to take on new meaning and new life to me, and how He, God, holds His people in His hands. And He holds those who haven't trusted Him yet in His hands as well, because He allows them to continue to live, but they haven't made that decision yet to find Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, we live in a world of uncertain times. I don't know if you've ever noticed that or not. How many people here watched the debate the other night? Okay. That was a little weak. How many knew that there was a debate on the other night? All right. Okay. But, you know, I watched bits and pieces of it. And then I listened to the pundits. And how come I didn't get the same thing out of that these political analysts got? You know, I don't understand. I can hear these guys talk and take out of that something totally different than some of these announcers on TV get. And so, you know what? I have kind of reached the conclusion that my hope is not in man. But my hope is in the one who loves me, the one who cares, the one who holds me in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands, and I'm a part of that. And I can trust in Him, even if I can't trust in man. Now, I want to share with you this morning just five little things, maybe just four, depends on how quick I speak, about the Lord holding His own. And I just want to encourage you, look at Isaiah chapter 41. I want you to look at the 13th verse. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 13. For I am the Lord your God who upholds your right hand, who says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Do not fear, I will help you. Hopefully, these following points will help us to realize how the Lord holds us up and what He does to help us be able to face life with hope and with optimism in a world that is filled with hopelessness. All right, let's look at this. First of all, He helps His own. Isaiah chapter 41, the 10th verse says this, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. And so the Lord helps His own. Many people today try to cope with the stresses of life in their own power, in their own strength, and they flounder around and they become filled with a sense of hopelessness and uselessness. That's not what God wants for us. He does not want hopelessness. He wants us to be a people of hope. He wants us to be a people of optimism, a people of faith, a people of joy, a people of commitment who will press forward for Him. But in our own strength, I'm going to tell you, we cannot meet the challenges of life in our own power. We need the power of God to be able to go through this life and to make a difference. Those who trust in government are not going to really make a difference in this world. Those who trust in themselves are not going to make a difference in the light of eternity. But those who trust in God, who place their faith in Him, who place their hope and their courage in Him, will make a difference in this world for eternity's sake. And folks, that's the greatest thing that we can do, is make a difference in this world, make a difference for Christ and for His kingdom, because that's what's going to last. All of the promises of the pundits, all of the promises of those who are running for political office, all of the promises that people make in those types of circumstances are not going to matter in the light of eternity. But the promises of God we can trust in. The promises of God we can have hope in. Because the Lord helps us. And you know what? When the rest of the world is caving, when the rest of the world is falling apart, when the rest of the world is crashing around us, the believer stands tall. I will put my trust in God. I will put my hope in Him, for He will bring it about. He will bless. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. That you can take to the bank. Secondly, God not only helps His own, but He oversees His own. He oversees them. In Psalm 32, verse 8, we read these words, I will guide you with my eye. That's God speaking. I will guide you with my eye. When you're driving down the road, do you pay any attention? Hopefully. Hopefully. You know, I have found something to be very helpful when I'm driving, especially at night, and that's those bright yellow signs beside the road that have like a sharp bend, you know, that kind of let you know, hey, moron, slow down. Moron being me, all right? Not you. Me. But, you know, those signs become very helpful if I pay attention. If I don't pay attention and I decide that I'm going to go 55 miles an hour on a turn that says 15 miles an hour, Pastor, there aren't any of those. Oh, yeah, there are. I'll tell you what, go over towards Warren and turn to go on the road that goes to Kinzu, and very shortly after you turn, there's one of these beauties. Then there's a little sign there that says 15 miles an hour. Now, if you want to be cleaned up as a part of a mess, don't pay any attention to that sign. Try to take that curve at 55, and they'll be scraping you up somewhere. Because that wouldn't be bright. Well, you see, God is like that sign. He sees what lays ahead of you. He sees what you're going to face. And He will guide you. And He will lead you if you will simply pay attention to what He has to say. He wants to have us get through life smoothly. He wants us to get through life, and by smoothly, I don't mean without any trouble. We're going to have troubles in this life. But we don't have hopelessness. All right? And so He's going to help us to be able to make the turns in life that need to be made in order to keep us centered and focused on Him. If we'll listen. But you know what the tendency of most Christians is? I'll tell you what the tendency of most Christians is. I'm not going to read my Bible today because I'm too busy. I'm not going to really pray. Oh, I'll say a quick word before I eat. Maybe. As long as I'm not in a public restaurant somewhere where I might be embarrassed. I really don't have the time to pray. But boy, when a tragedy comes, you go, God, where were you? Where were you? Why didn't you pay attention to what I was doing? God's going, duh. Lynn, why didn't you read today? So I could have helped you maneuver around that pothole. Why didn't you listen today? Was it because you were too distracted with the things of this life? So I couldn't get through? You're right, Lord. And boy, you'd better say that. Because I'll tell you something, He's always right. Even if He's going to do something that is not going to be the way that you would do it His way. And it'll be right. You see, God, in His great wisdom and in His great vision, sees what lies ahead of you. And He wants to help you to avoid the landmines. I remember in the early days of the Iraq War, what was the number one thing that killed American soldiers? Exactly. They were called, There were some kind of landmines anyways, that they were put in various places. And, it was an interesting thing because they had developed some surveillance types of stuff that could help people avoid those things. And they knew the signs to watch for. And you know what? That works. That helps. Have you noticed that those things are no longer effective? How long has it been since you have heard of an American soldier either in Afghanistan, of course they're all removed from Iraq now, but in Afghanistan being killed by the roadside bombs? You're not hearing of it. Where it was an everyday occurrence that these things were going off before. But you're not hearing it. Why? Because they have learned to look for the signs. God has given you the signs. The signs are in His Word. The signs are in His Spirit. And He will place them before you to help you to avoid the minds that Satan sets in front of you. Because Satan wants to blow up your vehicle the best way that he can. Listen to God, because He oversees where you're headed. I will guide you with my eye. The next thing is that the Lord leads His own. Psalm 139, verse 10 says, "Even there shall your hand lead me, and your right hand shall hold me." Even there, wherever I go, whatever is placed before me, wherever I am, Lord, your hand will lead me. You will hold me. The psalmist in Psalm 139, verse 10, was completely confident in God's direction, even in the most extreme circumstances. Even when enemies wanted to destroy him, he understood, God is the one who will give me guidance. He's the one who will lead me. We have a GPS, one of those little things you stick in, and the lady yells at you when you pull off the road to get gas. I don't know if you've got one of those things or not. But, boy, she's impatient. I don't know what there is about her, but she's just impatient. She doesn't understand. Your car's got to have gas to run. I don't understand what that's about. But anyways, when we first got that thing, we happened to be out in the state of Indiana. And we were traveling back. And so we plugged it in, and we put in this, the destination we wanted to reach. And she started telling us, "You go this way, you go this way, you go this way." And it wasn't the way we usually go traveling home from Indiana. And so, in all of my wisdom, I said, "I'm not going to pay attention here. I know the direction. I was just checking this thing. What in the world's going on? Why doesn't she know the way that I go? I have researched this thing. I have traveled this before. I know more than she knows." Well, guess what? That GPS thing was guiding me around a huge traffic jam on the interstate that I wanted to be on, because there were two wonderful big semis who had decided, "Here's a good place to crash," and had everything blocked off so that they could pull the trucks. Thankfully, there was no one hurt, no one killed, but man, did they mess up traffic. And that GPS was trying to lead me around that congestion. And so I get off of the way that she wanted me to go, and I'm headed my own direction, and she's yelling at me, "Congestion ahead! Congestion ahead!" And I'm going, "I don't feel anything." You know what it's like to have congestion, right? kind of blocks you up. Okay, anyways, I'm going, I don't feel anything. But man, I got stopped for an hour and a half sitting there while they pulled these trucks off the road. And I don't know why it takes only a few seconds to block the road and why it takes hours to clear it, but nonetheless, that's what happens simply because I didn't listen. Has God ever given you directions and said, hey, go this direction, do this thing, and you in your stubbornness say, it's not the way I'd do it, so God, I'm going to do this my way. And you step out in your way, and God's going, congestion, congestion, stop, go back. Get away from the direction you're going. And you reach and you hit the button to shut God off. Like we do that GPS. God, I'm going to close off my hearing because I want to do this my way. And pretty soon, you're in a mess. And you're held up. And you're not going forward because of your stubbornness. You see, that's what we do. That's what we do. We need to pay attention. Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. I'll just give you the last thing real quickly. Number four is God delivers His own. Isaiah 46 verse 4 says, I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and I will deliver you. I have made you, I will bear you. In other words, I will pick you up. I will carry you, I will bring you forward, and I will deliver you to your destination, and I will deliver you from the enemies that want to destroy you. I will hold you. Let God hold you. Don't be jumping out of His hands to do things your way and messing up your life. Follow God's will. And He'll deliver you safely to your ultimate destination. And that's His presence. Let's stand. Shall we pray? Our gracious Father, I pray right now that Your Holy Spirit would enlighten us, that You would take these truths from Your Word, and that You would help us to pay attention to them, to not shut You out, to not go our own way, follow our own routes, because we realize that we don't see what lies ahead of us. But let us trust in You who sees all things. And Lord, help us to avoid the pitfalls of self-centeredness, the pitfalls of arrogance that says, God, I don't need You here. Go help someone else. Lord, help us to realize You're there all the time for us and we're really not a bother when we're seeking Your way. Now, Father, we love You, and we ask You to be with us through the remainder of this day. May our lives honor You, for it's in Your glorious and holy and righteous name we pray. Amen. I want to thank you for being here. God bless you. Have a great day in Jesus.